Pennywise got him. He's down in the sewer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Vassals of Kingsgrave. Today, we will be discussing the 2017 movie It. My name is Greg. I'm Claudius the Fool on the forums, and I'm joined by two other vassals today.
I'm Sarah Lady Weaver on the forums.
And I'm Adam Drown Snow on the forums.
It's just three quarters of the Losers Club here to talk about It. So, let's do it, and that will be my last It pun, I promise. This is one of my all-time favorite Stephen King books, maybe my favorite aside from The Stand, and I was very excited to see it, and I was blown away. I didn't expect to like it this much, but I thought it kept pretty true to the books. They changed some stuff, but just the tone, I thought, was that perfect line between, like, genuinely terrifying and interesting and also funny. If we're giving it lemon cakes or the equivalent, I'd probably give it 4.75 for chapter one. What did you guys think?
I really love the combination of humor and horror in it. And I think this will be a great movie to watch with friends going forward. And I gave it 4 bleeding red balloons out of 5.
Nice. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, I definitely give it a 4 out of 5. I think that it's something that probably actually gets better on rewatch. Which is unusual, but I wasn't expecting much either. I just remembered the miniseries or whatever, you know, on TV as a kid, and, you know, all the positive reviews kind of made me give it a try, but, I thought, I was pleasantly surprised and also creeped out.
Yeah. I mean, going into it, like, I've spoken to people, like, they're like, oh, I don't like horror. I was like, but as long as you know going into it, it's about a killer clown in the sewer, you can enjoy it for just it's almost like a fun 80s nostalgic, you know, trip. But it was also just very well done. I thought that everyone who played all the kids, they were spot on. And I had forgotten, like, little things from the book that they actually kept in, or they did these little homages. But even just the opening scene of, you know, Georgie making his sailboat out of newspaper and getting caught in the drain, like, they did that, and that it just, I knew from that first scene that it was going to be fun, and I was not disappointed.
Oh, fuck that scene.
But that first scene, they actually ripped the dialogue out of the book, because I read the book right before that part in the book right before I saw it the second time, and it's directly out of the book.
Oh, well, I did not even realize that, but it's a good catch.
Yeah, it's like, I just, like, that kid is, like, about the same age as my kid, and then his arm gets ripped off. And I was like, hell no. Like, after the movie, I had to, like, Google the actor and be like, he's alive and well. And, like, okay.
It's no, okay. No 4-year-olds had their arms ripped off in the making of this movie.
You needed closure.
Yeah. But, like, one of the, I mean, broad themes of the movie and from the book as well was that, like, there's something evil in this town. This isn't just, like, your normal town. Something's wrong. But it also is, like, a commentary on just how it's very easy for people to do nothing, to let bad things happen, than to actually stand up and do stuff. And you kind of got that literally in that first scene where that old lady literally sees, she didn't see it happen, but she saw a trail of blood leading to the sewer, and she just decides to walk away. And that's pretty much setting the tone for what everyone in this town does.
It's so upsetting that they all just brush it under the rug, and I'm sure people would realize what's going on, and people do at least kind of realize, but they don't talk about it. And they just pretend it doesn't exist.
Partially seems like he's influencing the perception of the adults to kind of ignore it, right?
Yeah, well, as it goes on, you figure out, you don't know if he's, or the creature is responsible for this stuff, or he just eggs people on. But in the book, they go into more of it, how, like, you know how in the movie, Ben, I think it's Ben, who, like, does his research and finds, like, all the bad stuff happening. But, like, you actually see, you know, the clown. At one point, there was this whole, like, gang shootout in the middle of town, and you see, like, a clown shooting a gun out of the corner of a window, or when there's a hanging, like, you see him standing under the rope, you know, looking up at the person being lynched, and he's there for all the bad stuff. But I think it's nice that it's left in interpretation. This is just something that people would do anyway, but he's definitely adds to it, because most towns don't have 30 missing children. Yes, I mean, so to date, I mean, the movie's only been out for about not even a month, and it's officially the highest-grossing horror movie of all time, and by far the highest-grossing Stephen King adaptation of all time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's the caveat that they don't adjust for inflation, because it just passed $500 million, but The Exorcist, if they adjust for inflation, The Exorcist would be like $1.5 billion. But still, it's technically the highest grossing film, horror film of all time.
Right. It always makes me wish they would do like ticket sales, you know, but they don't actually do ticket sales numbers because it's all about money.
Right. Yeah, it's got 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is much more than the original It miniseries does. But we can talk a little bit about the I know Adam said you watched the original. Sarah, had you seen that before this one, or was this your first experience?
I watched I saw half of the first bit before this, and then I watched the first half of it after I saw it the second time, the 2017 one, the second time.
Okay. Because, like, it's pretty universally shit on as, like, a really bad adaptation. But,
so bad.
But, like, No, it's fine. I have this thing because I'm such a huge Stephen King fan, and he's a big fan of his adaptations, too. But, like, up until, like, 2000 or so, they didn't have the technology to do it well. And when you finally see, like, the big monster in the TV miniseries, it's the stupidest thing, like... It's just they don't have the technology to do it, and I always kind of give him a pass. But you know, Tim Curry was awesome as Pennywise, but just most of the other actors, it just didn't stick with me, especially the adult actors. Mm-hmm. But like this one, it felt better, and it was just an awesome adaptation. I thought jumping off for me, it was really just the cast of characters. It felt like a big ensemble piece. I only knew one of the kids from Stranger Things, the kid who plays Richie, but yeah. They all were just spot on.
They were very, very good. It was a really good cast. Really, really, really good.
Yeah, and having it set in the 80s instead of the 50s, that was a big departure, but it made sense because, you know, I guess part two was going to be set in the current day, so this had to be set in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I think that was more of a nostalgic kick for people having something in the 80s rather than the
mid-80s, it works, you know? To shift it like that.
Lots of New Kids on the Block references.
Yeah. No, with it being set most of it in 1988, it means this part two will be set in 2015.
Mm-hmm. I was doing the math too, and I was there's like 26 years. Okay. But did you keep expecting it to jump? Because I didn't know that the whole movie was not going to do the adult stuff. So every time like there was a shift and like the words came up, and it's like, oh, it's going to be 2015, and it was like October.
Yeah, that I did know.
I did not, because then after like an hour and a half, I was like, all right, they're probably not going to do the adult part because they just don't have time.
I didn't think they would because I knew they hadn't cast any adult actors going in to actually watch it, so I didn't expect them to have a modern day scene.
Okay. You guys did more research than I did going into it, obviously.
I just kind of heard offhand.
Yeah.
I follow a lot of like movie critics on YouTube, so gotcha. Yeah. They keep me covered with all my shit. By the way, you know the character Victor Chris, so the guy with platinum, like, white blonde hair, that was one of the bullies. I was just like, his hairstyle, they could really wear it today and it'd still be stylish. So. That's what I thought watching him. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Was it even stylish? I will say, like, I remember, like, watching this as, like, it was on TV a lot, you know?
You mean the trailers?
No, the Tim Curry version, you know? Yeah. And then, like looking back, like, I would always get it confused with that one movie where the clowns kidnap all those kids on a bus or something.
I don't know that one.
Scary clowns.
No, the time that I watched half of the first half of it, I was actually, it was Halloween, and then I was at a friend's place, and we were having a sleepover, and it was too scary. I was 12, okay. And I was like, oh my god, it's so scary. But I think what I had going in my head was scarier than the movie. So I spent half the rest of it on someone's iPod playing games.
Well, I mean, as a 12-year-old, I'm sure that was terrifying. I didn't see it until I was older. But and of course, I just read the book. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see this adaptation of this book I love. And I was like, this is awful. At one point where, like, he pulls the kid into the sewer and, like, his body folds in half. But it's, like, so cheesily done that that scene always sticks with me. And then the ultimate spider reveal. No, I mean, the bullies is, like, that's one of the parts that has the most visceral reaction to me because, you know, I mean, went through a little bullying, nothing close to what Ben went through getting, you know, basically almost murdered and stabbed. But in the book, like, you actually get the whole backstory of Patrick Hockstetter and I'm drawing a blank on the other guy's name, Henry Bowers.
Yeah.
But like you find, I mean, there's like 200 pages devoted to Patrick Hockstetter. He's like this psychopath. He doesn't believe other people are real. And then he gets like put in a refrigerator and it gets him. But like they did a little, like they named him and like they showed how they were going missing too. But it was just, I wish we got a little bit more with that. But I understand how in this movie they had to focus on like the kids, you know, like the good guys. But it did humanize a little bit what they were going through also.
It did. You know, the plot with Beverly Marsh and how she has all the blood come out of the sink. I wonder if it's almost a parallel because we see her buying tampons earlier in the movie. And then like what it does to scare her is actually just have blood coming up out of the sink and the weird voices, but mainly the blood. So I wonder if there's this weird parallel because she's coming into her own as being a woman and then he's preying on that.
Yeah. I mean, there's the whole double thing going on with Beverly because, you know, awful stuff has happened with her and her father, and that was always very tough to do. I mean, I didn't know how they were going to do it, and I thought they did it as well as they could. And it was weird that it never took the form of her father, right? It was just the blood, or my, like when they were in the sewer.
In the last battle,
it did. Okay.
He took the form of her dad, but otherwise, no. Yeah. And I know what you're saying is true. I think they did Bev's relationship with her dad very well because you could. Like, you know it's abuse, but they didn't show any physical abuse or sexual abuse. It was just hinted at a lot.
Which is almost worse than, I mean, not that you'd want them to show it, but by not showing it, everyone thinks, everyone, you know, you have your own thoughts. And it's, I mean, in the book, it's pretty explicit, but also from what I remember.
I think it's good that they chose to do that because that way they aren't putting the actress through it. And like you're saying, you're having people imagine what she's been through.
But the whole like group, did you have a favorite kid? I mean, I feel like you can't help but identify with one of the people in the club. I mean, for me it was Ben and Eddie a little bit, but definitely more Ben.
I thought Richie was fucking hilarious, man. Like, so funny.
Yeah.
And being a female, I should be relating more to Beverly, but I never really thought about who
you can identify with, whoever you'd like.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I really relate to any of them that much personally, or it's more like a mix of them. Yeah, I don't know. But Richie has my sense of humor. Dirty dick jokes all the way. Yeah.
And some of the, you know, other scary stuff was just remembering like how you saw the world when you were a child, because like stuff that isn't scary to us now would be terrifying. Not like the sewers and stuff, but like Eddie's mother terrified me. And going downstairs to your basement to get something, like how you know, thought there was a creature down there. But I thought for a second that it was the same actor playing Eddie's mom as the clown, but I don't think it was. I don't know why. Like, no, I thought that was like the thing they were doing. But like, yeah, she had shit going on too. But once Eddie found out he was taking gazebos, it was awful.
Molly Jane Atkinson played Sonia Kasprak, which is Eddie's mom.
Okay.
I wrote down the cast too, so.
Good. Well, I have IMDb. I just was thinking that as I was sitting there, and I was pretty sure that wasn't the case.
No, it's a different lady. But, I feel bad for Eddie being manipulated by his mom so much, but I almost wonder if she knows about what's going on in the town, which is why she's always stay close, stay home. Don't go out with your friends to keep him away from Pennywise.
But I can see that, but I don't, from what I think it's, because when you finish the book, I think you'll get it more like, the whole thing is like, once you're an adult, you kind of like forget about the stuff that happened, or like you don't believe it. So I thought it was more, she was just, you know, has her own issues and she's pushing them off onto her son.
Which is, could also good, be very, you know, much does, the case.
That's a good, that could be the case. I don't know.
And big catch. Okay, so all of the adults in the film that we see watching TV, they're actually all watching the same show, which is the show Pennywise goes on to tell Henry Bowers to kill his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Every single shot of the TV is that show, and we actually hear some of the dialogue of it. I have notes. Fill in time, Greg. Fill in time.
You mean, like, is it an actual show from, like, history? Or you mean you just have the dialogue from the, like, what they were saying?
No, like, what they were saying, it was, you'll float to and come down to the sewers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got that.
Actually, in the show. But, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if they were all seeing something different when they were watching the show, because obviously Pennywise was talking to them. But the whole thing about floating down here, that's like the whole creepy quote from the whole, from how we all float down here. But yeah, I don't usually go in for horror too much. I mean, I have a couple horror movies that I like, but I don't like being scared, like, just for the thrill of it. And even though there were a couple points of that, but I just enjoyed almost every scene of this movie, when they were, like, going through the your typical haunted house and going down to the pit to kill it. Like, I was so into it that when those scenes happened, it didn't take me out of it too much. There was one scene where, like, the whole theater was like, ah, and I just laughed, because that's my reaction when I get scared, is I just start laughing.
No, I think seeing this movie in a crowded theater, because I saw it in a crowded theater, I'm on with 13 other people, and I think the packed theater was a better experience, because everyone was jumping at the same time, they yelped at the same time, and we all laughed at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I really think that helps getting the audience interaction. So I think, like, watching it at home with a bunch of friends is going to be great, like, really, really good.
Some movies are a lot better with an audience, like Magic Mike with a bunch of people at a bachelorette party. Way
Magic
better.
Mike was not good. It was kind of depressing. Okay.
It is good if you have a theater full of women that are screaming at everything going on.
I still have not seen that, so I'll have to wait.
Magic Mike 2 is way more fun. Like, Magic Mike 2 is lots of fun. Magic
Mike 1 didn't have that whole, like, depressing back end.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? Also, Channing Tatum, why are you spending so much time on this girl? She clearly has no emotion.
Join us next week when we discuss Magic Mike 2. I won't be there for that one.
You sure? I think you should host it.
Oh, yeah. We'll see. So what did you... I just wanted to ask, did either of you have any, like, sort of clown fears when you were kids at all? Or not really?
At least until I saw it, but still, no, not really.
For me, really, because, like, I read the book, I was just graduated college, and the edition of the book I had was, like, the mass market paperback that had the face of this creepy clown on the spine. And I really didn't have I don't ever like clowns, but I wasn't, like, scared of clowns. But every night for, like, a month, I fell asleep staring at this creepy clown face, and I had these messed up dreams, and I remember by the end of it, I was like, I had a genuine fear of clowns, and I think it's just because of the book, like the physical staring.
Dude,
at this creepy clown.
Fuck. Clowns.
Are you terrified of Ronald McDonald now? Like,
no.
Crazy terrified?
Not really.
Ronald McDonald clearly abuses children, like with his
food. We're not
going to
go into that. Well, okay, the corporation.
Like, he just uses them for his own gains. He might eat them for all I know. What's in McNuggets? Who knows?
Anyway.
You'll float too at McDonald's, McLoving it.
All right. I just want to talk a little bit about the actual, like, how the clown, what they did to him to make him feel creepy, because... Okay, you got a guy with a painted face, and he's got this weird lisp, and he's got this upside-down smile, and a huge forehead, and, like, his jowls almost look like a dog. Like, I know there's some weird face thing going on.
And he's Tim Curry sometimes.
Well, even Tim Curry is inherently creepy, but let's stick with
let's also talk about the fact that Skarsgård is fucking hot. Okay, that's very important. Bill Skarsgård, very hot.
Yeah, he did not look at all like I thought he would out of the makeup.
I did not know him. Is he related to, like, the other Skarsgård actors?
Yeah, there's, like, 20 actors in that family.
Okay. Well, I know Peter. I think he's... And then there's, like, the guy who plays the bad guys and everything.
Stellan or Stellan, whatever his name is.
Yeah. But,
go ahead,
Sarah.
Get it out.
With Bill Skarsgård, I actually thought he looked really, really short in the movie because of the costume they put him in. So I thought he was actually going to be really short. But then I look him up, and he's fucking tall. He's 1.92 meter, so that's 6'3" and three quarters.
1.92 meter? What's that?
Yeah.
That's like magic.
It's like 5 stones.
I told you the conversion, okay?
I know. I just had to do that.
But he's
really tall.
How many
stones
tall.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't use stones. Come on. I use kilos, okay? Unless we're having a rock war, then we're throwing stones.
Okay.
Yeah, you should throw pebbles for a rock war, not like boulders.
Yes. Yes.
Well, when they're trying to murder you and slice your stomach open, you're allowed to throw fucking rocks, I think.
Yes. No, with that scene, I actually loved it, but Beverly Marsh is the person who gets there first and throws the first rock to stop Henry Bowers and to enable Mike to get away. Like, I was like, bro, good job. And then Henry's insulting Beverly, and then it's Ben who actually starts the rock war.
Yeah.
So it's like, for your lady love, you're saving her honor. And I'm like, that's kind of cool, Ben. Good job.
And then the Karate Kid theme plays.
And I don't know if any of you know the comedian Tig Notaro.
No.
The kid who plays...
A little bit.
Eddie looks exactly like Tig Notaro. She's like a 40-year-old woman, but if you... I'll put
it's
a picture
like the same
of
hair exactly, and everything, yeah.
No, his face looks exactly like her.
No, I thought the kid who played Eddie, I thought he was going to look like a middle-aged man, like one of those really, really tan old men with, like, salt and pepper hair. That's gelled back. I can see him looking like that in the future. So I'm hoping they go with that type for the actor.
Can we just all agree that probably whoever they cast as the adults is going to ruin
it? Yeah. I don't know. I
think... We can see. We don't know. I don't. I mean, I'm sure... Have they announced any actual...
I don't think so. But it's just... It's very hard to... I think it's going to be to translate that.
Yeah. It is going to be really, really hard. Like, so hard. Because I think they casted perfectly for this film. And then they need to get people who look similar enough to this to play those other roles. And that's just making it harder, really.
Yeah, and then sometimes you get the adult actor who tries to act like the kid. You know, they watch the performance, like, I'm going to be like the kid. And they're, like, changing the mannerisms. And you're like, well, you wouldn't act like that anymore as an adult, would you, you know?
Are we going to talk about the Rock War and, like, the... inherent darkness of throwing rocks at people, which is what I thought, and then Adam's like, nah, bro, it's normal.
Well, I never had a rock war when I was a kid. I was taught that sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, so I did not
throw
rocks.
You just swore at people?
Yeah, I just walked around cursing. That's why I had no friends, right? That's probably why. No, let's talk about
kids
war.
Throw rocks at each other. Usually it's nothing.
I had a BB gun fight. We had a BB gun.
I did have a BB gun fight. To me, sounds a lot more dangerous than throwing rocks.
Yes.
But usually you don't throw
went to the hospital,
big,
so
jagged rock. Like, we had that happen. Someone threw a rock too big, and, like, right between my eyes, and I had to have, like, bandages and stuff because I was bleeding everywhere. But it wasn't that bad. I didn't go to the hospital or anything.
Maybe you should have.
Look, it was not the first brain injury, and it was not the last.
Okay.
In case you can't tell.
I was wondering why you're here, but now I know. No, I wrote it on the forums, and with the Rock War, I took it as being almost, because it's meant to be their summer break, right? And it's almost like Pennywise is mutilating their memories of their summer or what they're doing in their summer break. So instead of, like, having an innocent water fight or something like that, they're having an actual rock war, and it's not little pebbles, it's massive rocks, which really is going to hurt someone. So whether it's, like, Pennywise's influence on them, and that's what is actually making them do it, because...
Well, he's definitely making that kid torture people with knives.
Yeah, like, what the fuck, bro?
But Henry Bowers has his own problems, and you don't know how much of that is Pennywise, or how much is that his own issues.
Yeah.
Or his dad.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Pennywise seems to have, like, a really undefined sphere of influence, I guess. Like, he lives in the sewers and doesn't really seem to do well in the sunlight, but then he can go kidnap people.
He's on TV. And sit in the back of people's cars.
Yeah, I picture him as not so much. He's only physical when he needs to be, but he's just, like, a spirit that can travel around. But he's bound to, like,
and he, like, makes people... Yeah, he makes people see the balloon everywhere. I don't know if he's actually there. Or, it's like, why couldn't he just grab Georgie? You know, like, I don't know.
No, with this, I almost think that having the adults there, yes, they might be being influenced by Pennywise, but just having the adults there almost protects them in a way, because Beverly doesn't get kidnapped until after she kills her dad. None of the kids really are attacked when they're with adults either.
No, that's a good point. So,
did she kill her dad? I thought she just knocked him out.
No,
he was bleeding pretty bad.
Yeah, like,
but I'm not
I thought he was just gonna maybe have some problems later on.
And then she goes and lives with her aunt. I took it as she killed her dad.
Either way, she can't go back there.
Yeah.
No, but that was another scene that was more scary than, like, them being chased by it in the sewer, was being, you know, locked in your own home and having your parent trying to kill you or trying to do awful things to you.
Yeah. And with this, with Beverly, I think the place she felt most comfortable and safest was actually in the bathroom, because that's where she goes as soon as she can. She cuts her hair in there to change who she is. And I really liked how Beverly actually did cut her hair after her dad was fondling it, because that's something he obviously uses to control her and to...
Well, it's a symbol, too, of her. Like, he associates that with her being his little girl, whatever that means in his twisted head.
So she cuts it off, and that's... I took that as her reclaiming who she is as well.
Yeah.
I liked that because it was also at least a little bit of a way to stick it to her dad and be like, fuck you, dickhead, without actually doing anything so he won't beat her bloody.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And the other way that it kind of manifests is not so much in outward physical violence, but in the inherent racism that they have against, like, Mike's family. And in the book, it's more, you know, like, in the book, I don't think Mike's... It was his parents that died in the fire. It was like this whole bar burned down and like 30 people died, but like everyone just stood, all the white people stood and watched it burn. They didn't help them. It was called the Black Spot, and that was like his, you know, horror. And that's kind of like the jumping off
point. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Because in the books, it's Mike that kind of like pieces everything together and does the history. And then when they're older, he's the one that kind of like draws them back to Derry.
He's homeschooled and bored.
Well, he's the only one who doesn't leave the town, you know, afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, and you see that in with everything from like Henry screaming like, get out of my town, to actual murder and awfulness. But,
yeah, like very racist. Like, you're not welcome here, boy. Like, he said, what are you talking about? I'm trying to deliver my meat.
I'm trying to deliver my meat newspapers, which is like, why are the newspapers? Oh, they're meat. Okay.
The special meat edition of the New York Times.
Yeah.
Question. Do you think Mike is actually fairly safe from Pennywise when he is at home on his farm because it's far enough away from Derry? Or do you think it's still within Pennywise's sphere of influence because his granddad knows something is going on in Derry and tells Mike about it?
I don't know. I don't think of it so much as in like, it's like a vampire, you know, like he can't cross a boundary or he can't get out of a certain area. But I don't know. That's a good point. I thought he just didn't want him to go to town because he knew
his alien spaceship crashed there and he can't go too far away.
Don't spoil it. She hasn't finished the book yet, Adam. Jesus.
Yeah. God damn it, Adam. God
damn
it.
Yeah, the third book is where you learn about the whole galactic empire. There's only one book.
If you guys had any idea how close you were to the truth, you would not be joking right now.
Oh, I know that. I know some of the spoilers for it, so I'm kind of like, god damn it.
At least it's not Dreamcatcher.
That's one of my least favorite King books, but it has its good parts.
Oh, by the way, you know when Ben's having Henry Bowers carve the H into his stomach, that's actually at the Kissing Bridge, and I took that to being an homage to where Adrian died in the book. I was just like, hey, bro. And then
I forgot Ben jumps he was back.
Gay guy who was murdered.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Oh, I completely forgot about that. Yeah.
Murdered by who?
Really cool. By a bunch. It was in the 80s that he got murdered, and it's one of the inciting incidents that gets Mike to call everyone.
Yeah, to come back.
Yep. And with it, it's at the Kissing Bridge, and Ben actually kicks himself back over the bridge, and with Adrian in the book, he's pushed over to murder him. Or at least severely injure him. So I thought that was cool. And as well, with Henry Bowers jumping over the bridge, why the fuck would he do that with his knife out? That's just A, how you cut yourself, or B, you kill yourself, and C, you lose your fucking knife. You are a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Then, he's not in the best
your
frame
dad's going to kill you because you lost your knife. Somehow you just grab his gun and start shooting things.
So we can talk a little bit just about how it all kind of comes together, because it is an ending, but there's not too much of a resolution because it's left very open until, you know, chapter two. Do you consider, I mean, if without knowing if you know what, you know, like, do you think they defeated it, or is it like we'll be back in 26 years or whatever it is?
I know what happened, so I can't
answer. Yeah, I know. I mean, I think we're meant to believe that this is just, like, they've won the battle, but the war still has to be won.
It clearly played them and was like, oh, I'm gonna fuck off and regenerate.
But one thing I didn't like at the ending, like, where I was like, they're in the bottom of the sewer, they're at the bottom of a well, what is he going into now that's deeper than where they are right now? It's like, I thought it was just like a little like nothing there, but he fell into something else.
And it was a really long way down as well.
Yeah.
Like, he's been digging these tunnels, man.
He went to his, I want to spoil
his clown cave.
You can, it's okay.
Yes, his clown cave.
Yeah, he's got to have an escape plan for when he's found out. He's a prepper.
But this is one of the scenes that in the TV show was, like, super cheesy when they fought him in his lair. But, like, the way they eased you into it with, like, Beverly and, like, the whole... You find out, like, okay, this is where he took on the guise of Pennywise when this circus was in town in 18, you know, 70-something. And it just... It showed, like, how ancient he was just because you saw, like, the piles of the shoes and everybody floating. But I thought it was done very well. It wasn't cheesy like I expected to be, like, oh, that's cheesy, or that's not how it was in the book. And I was surprised at myself for how much in the movie I was, like, into it, and not because I'm such so much of a purist, I wasn't like, that's not how it happened. Like, I just enjoyed it.
Like, could it be that any of those people were alive, like, floating down there? That's what I was wondering.
Because it's kind of weird, because whether it's he's like a spider, so he cocoons them, but he just has them float to eat them later during his 27 years of being away.
I always took it at, like, he does physically eat them and kill them, but also he's like a, I don't know, psychic vampire or something, where he's... That's why he has to take so many at once, because, like, he does feed on them psychically, you know, when he's in his hibernation or whatever. Yeah. But they're dead. I mean, Georgie didn't come back, and...
But Georgie had
Well, that's what I was thinking, that maybe, yeah. What I was thinking, is like maybe some of the more recent people that disappeared were just kind of like sleeping like she was, you know?
Yeah. And Ben just needs to kiss them and wake them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sleeping Beauty trope.
Well, there is the great debate as to, like, what Stephen King actually wrote them have do in the book to make them remember, and it's very different from what they do in the movie. You know,
apparently, and, yeah.
But this book was written because, like, Stephen King it was written pretty, I think, at the height of his, like, drug addiction, and he was on cocaine, and he was an alcoholic, and he wrote, like, the Tommyknockers and some books that are considered, like, really bad. I love the Tommyknockers, but I've talked about
this around Maximum Overdrive time.
Yeah, right around there. He's like, aliens need to invade because they need AA batteries, man. That's a story. And he wrote 700 pages about that. But, no, I mean, it was like, I don't know how that got past the editor. Like, you're going to have the children have an orgy to remember? And he's like, yeah. I was like, okay, go with it.
He's pulling a George R. R. Martin, and he's very big, so the editors don't rein them in properly when they should.
But, I mean, I was flipping through, like, the book, and I remember, like, the way he writes it, it's very, you know, it's weird, like, the way he writes it, because, like, you know they're doing it because, like, this is what they think they have to do, the most powerful thing they can do to remember so they never forget, and of course they forget anyway. But, of course, then it comes back. But it was original, look at that.
Yeah.
But doing a blood oath works better in the film.
Yes. Blood swears. Blood promises. Yeah. Yeah.
And no, by the end, like, I had the people in the theater, they weren't, like, cheering, but it was like a couple people were like, oh, chapter two, all right, like, they were excited for the second part, which is, that was very it was a nice reaction.
No, but it's true, because they did it so well, and everyone's keen to see a part two. Everyone I've spoken to about it that has seen it really, really liked it and wants to see the next part.
I mean, I want to see it again just so I can, like, appreciate the little things. Like, I was looking at all these articles about, like, the Easter eggs they left, and, you know, the only one I picked up on was that I remember from the book that Eddie's fear, you know, like, Stanley had the painting and everyone had their own thing, but Eddie's was werewolves, and it was always a werewolf, and it's like, oh, they're gonna have him turn to a werewolf. But they just show this one scene where, like, when he's coming at him, like, the werewolf claws come out of his hand, and, like, that's all they show. But I really like that they did that. But no, I'm definitely looking forward to the second one.
Yeah. No, you know, with Eddie and the leper at the house, the nose hole, it actually moved, because the first time I saw that scene, I started laughing because the nose moved, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then when I got home, I'm like, did that actually happen? And the second time I watched it, I'm like, no, that nose definitely moves. So it was hilarious. Yeah. I don't think I meant to laugh at the nose hole moving, but still.
Lepers are unintentionally hilarious. I think we all agree with that, right?
Yep. In your theaters, did you have anything weird happen?
What do you mean?
As in our theater?
Other than all the clowns that were sitting with me?
No.
I just turned around and everyone was dressed in the white face and upside down happy faces. And then I peed myself and I passed out. That happened, yeah. What happened?
Just before they went into the house for the second time to fight Pennywise,
they had the balloon, like a red balloon, float up from a backpack at the very front to the top of the ceiling, and everyone screamed, started laughing.
Oh, you mean the theater did that on purpose?
Or someone at the theater.
Oh, okay, that's
like,
hilarious.
Like, yeah, they should put stuff in, like, the urinals or something, you know? Like,
yeah, little, like, clawed hands sticking out of the drains.
It's like balloon guy is better than laser pointer guy. Remember?
Yeah,
the 90s?
I would rather have a clawed hand sticking out of a drain than like opening up a stall and have a clown sitting there. Like, nope.
You here for the 3 o'clock? Boo.
Could you imagine if he's like, "What are you seeing?" And you're like, "It," and he's like, "Oh, cool. You're good. Go. Bye." And it's just everyone who isn't seeing the movie that he's scaring.
Oh, yeah. That just makes no sense. They're like, why is there a clown?
Yeah. And he's like, see it.
But yeah, no, I just, I don't go to the movies too often, but I was very just pleased overall with this one. And it might be my favorite movie I've seen in quite some time, probably since like Mad Max, Fury Road.
Well, it didn't take us a year to talk about that one, did it?
Wait a minute. Anything else anybody wants to add? I know, Sarah, you have many pages of notes. I hope we got to most of them.
Do we want to talk about Stanley and how the thing he's scared of is the weird painting, like, flute lady, which I think is kind of weird.
Yeah, what is that?
A painting, but it makes me wonder if he's actually kind of scared of his dad and being in his place of worship, because his dad's being like, I'm the head of it and you can't even do the readings right for your bar mitzvah.
I thought he's definitely, like, ashamed of that, but I thought he was his fear was that freaking painting. That actually
my like crazy headcanon was that like the painting was like something that like his dad or someone had painted like when they were younger or something based on Crazy Clown Dude.
Okay, I didn't even think of that. I think there's a lot of kids that have like things in their house that like, because my aunt had a Vincent Van Gogh print in her hallway when I was a kid, and I used to like have to put my hand over it when I walked past it to go to the bathroom because it always freaked the crap out of me. And I identified with that, how he was scared of like, it's just a painting to everyone else, but to him it's genuinely terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, if Vincent Van Gogh crawled out of a painting, that would be genuinely terrifying too.
I remember one time being at my school, like, you know, on a weekend or something, after hours all the lights are off and turning a corner, and they had like, you know, like a cardboard cutout of, I don't know, probably some celebrity or something. Like, for all I know, it was like Captain Picard or something. And it like freaked the fuck out of me because I couldn't tell who it was. From like, it's dark. I was like, oh shit, I'm about to die. You know, so you think that you're just like 7 or 8.
With you relating to Stanley, I relate to Georgie a lot with being terrified of weird things in the dark, because I'd always hate going to the bathroom at night for a very, very long time. Being like, no, there's going to be a weird thing outside, and I still get that way a bit. I'm still like, is there something weird outside?
Well, this movie did make me think a lot. Like, I'm still, like, I live in, I mean, it's the suburbs, but it's technically the woods, and I have to, like, walk, you know, from my car past all these trees, and, like, there are nights where, like, I gotta get inside, someone's gonna murder me. You know, just these crazy thoughts that you have, you know, being alone in the woods. And then, like, you get inside and the lights are on, you're like, oh, it's fine. But, like, for a second there, like, if I look up and I see Slender Man, I'm gonna pee my pants and die. So.
And it's probably just some, like, cranked out dude looking for some food.
It's never anything. I mean, even if there was a cranked out dude looking for food, that would be a reason for me to be terrified. That's okay. That's validation. But, no, we all still have these crazy thoughts, you know, and it was probably 10 times worse when we were kids because you don't have explanations and you know, you can't explain everything away. But if you were a kid in Derry, what form would Pennywise take for you? We can maybe end on that. We can all talk about our childhood fears.
Heights, the unknown.
Just a giant a tall question mark.
Probably.
A hot girl that just makes out with me and doesn't actually do anything creepy.
All right, you're not taking it seriously.
No, that's not how the game works.
No, it's just how it works in your head, Adam.
Mine probably would have been a zombie, because I saw Night of the Living Dead, like the 1980s one, when I was way too young, and that genuinely terrified me. That and Fire in the Sky, so it would have been like aliens or zombies.
I mean, there was always all that little stuff that was like kind of scary as a kid, but I guess I was never too like scared of like the gross stuff or whatever. But fucking sharks, man, every time I was at like a pool, I would always like James Bond, that, you know, the movie where like they release the sharks out of the pool, and I always check for the shark gate and shit.
But I never checked in the ocean. Yeah, but I was genuinely, because I used to go to the Y, and like the deep end, like you could never see the bottom of it. So yeah, I was like, there's sharks down there. There's definitely sharks in there.
Yeah, definitely so many sharks, all the sharks. But I spent most of my time like in the ocean too. So, you know, legitimately, it's like there are sharks, but, you know, it's not a real concern most of the time. So. Yeah. But yeah, that was something that I was always worried about. But I was more worried about sharks in the pool than I was in the ocean.
Yeah, I completely get that.
Here, it's like you're going swimming in the ocean, and if it's around Cottesloe, which is in WA, it's like, yeah, good luck, you might get eaten. And down south in Bosselton and Dunsborough, it's also like, yeah, you might get eaten. Have fun. Bye.
I don't know whether it's like really bad, fried you it? On your fortitude to swim with sharks or make fun of your lovely hobbit towns.
No, because I think every year we get at least one shark attack, like down in Dunsborough and around Bosselton. And
one of the like three that happened worldwide.
No, but the people won't necessarily die. It's like they get attacked by sharks and might
have they just lose limbs and stuff
like that.
Yeah, because the shark doesn't really want to eat you. He's like, oh, you weren't good. Sorry,
I took your arm. This is why I don't like swimming anymore, okay? Like,
I haven't been jellyfish in the ocean here, so.
And sharks and, like, weird crabs that I don't want to step on, like, squishy things and, like, bro.
But you'll float, too.
I don't want to float, okay? You know, with Pennywise and his, you'll float, too. In the books, I wonder if it's because it's going to be down in the sewer and, like, things float away. But in this adaptation, it's more of a literal, they're actually floating.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. Because it's like, yeah, it's like with Georgie and the boat floating, and then he's down there and the floating, and they're all floating in the sewer, and all of a sudden, they're all actually floating. So
yeah, I never thought of how it would physically be, you know, shown, but it's just a creepy thing. Like, you're not supposed to float. Why are we floating? I don't want to float. Like, why is he using that as
a weird,
you know, maybe the balloons? Because like, oh, you like my balloon? You'll float too.
Yeah. Did anyone else think that maybe Georgie would be alive?
I thought they were going to take like the way out. We're like, oh, they kill it, and then he's comes back. But I'm glad they didn't. He's gone.
Yeah. No, but. It's really
all
bad.
All the bodies, like, slowly drop, but, like, they don't bring them up and go, hey, look, we found all the dead people, like, so you can mourn now.
I know. That's really shitty of them. Like, really, really shitty.
I was really expecting, like, a mass funeral of some sort.
They should have had one, because, as well, it's, like...
Maybe they're not there. I don't think they're actually there.
And get the bodies.
It's just, like, their essence or something is there.
Yeah. And plus, the second they leave those sewers, they forget all about it.
Which is crazy.
Well, I think that's good. Got it in under an hour. Thank you for joining us for this review of It. And we'll hopefully have some other movie reviews. Or I'm going to try to do the book club again, get that going again. Do you guys have anything coming up recently or soon? I'll probably get this edited actually this week. So it will be
well,
soon.
6 months from now when this is released, I probably will.
I bite my thumb at you, sir.
I can tell you I'm doing like a reread tomorrow, but yeah, I'm not sure what'll be posted first. So
we got stuff coming. Check it out.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's stuff coming. There's a Halloween book coming up, so everyone can be excited about that.
Yes, I don't know. I know it's going to be people sending in clips and kind of a mishmash, but I think Hannah is taking the reins on that one. But that should be fun. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time. Bye bye.
Bye.
So the kids that dance and shake their bones, and the politicians throwing stones, singing ashes, ashes, all fall down. Ashes, ashes, all fall down. Dude, fuck. Clowns.
I have my one page of handwritten notes from a week ago.
I have lots of notes.
Oh, good. I figured there'll always be something to talk.
I saw it for the second time, and I took a notepad in, and I was writing notes during the whole thing.
That person.
And it's legible, so I did good.
I usually use my phone. Like, I'll just put a couple notes on the notepad, but I didn't want to annoy people the first time, and I haven't seen it since, so just once.
Yeah. I just take notes on my phone in the app while I'm watching.
Nice. Excuse me, can you please turn your phone off? I am a journalist. This is for a podcast.
I am a movie reviewer, and I need to take my notes. You can go to hell.
We have tens of followers.
Yes. Yes. People need my notes. You can watch any time. I can only take my notes now.
Well, wouldn't they say, why don't you come back, like, at an 11 a.m. screening? But no one
11 a.m. is for people who don't have to write movie reviews.
During I hope you talk like that at your day job.
Of course I do. All the time.
How many times do you get punched in the face, man?
Punched in the face? That wouldn't be sterile.
I can't tell if this is your vaguely British accent or this is a new character.
I think
what
this
do you
is
mean?
Pompous accent.
I think
new
this
character.
Is this movie phone impression.
Is this not the voice I've always used?
Dude, fuck.
Well, that reread is starting to scare me now because it's first off, I'll be honest, like I didn't expect it to be picking up steam at this point. But
I didn't expect
it
to last this long.
Yeah. That too, but no, it's amazing that it has. It's brought all these new people to the forums, but at the same time, like I get nervous. Like okay, like once we're done with that, then we're really scratching the barrel. Like let's do a
character reread. Like Lord of the Rings.
No, no,
we start
I think,
doing.
I think the Council of the Seven will have to meet and ban any rereads until a new book is released.
Yeah.
Be like, you know, we are going to cover other things for a minute.
You know, I think someone ages ago, when I first joined the forum, you guys had a Google Doc about things you wanted to record on.
Ages ago, they had Robin Hobb on it, and like over a year ago now, I've been here so long, not really at all.
I remember
ages.
That doc from way back in 2012.
Ages
I remember
ago.
Filling stuff in on that doc. I think Vic started that.
Yeah, Vic started a lot of things back then.
But yeah.
I've never read Robin Hobb, but I've
no. The first okay, Robin Hobb. The first book's always boring. Not boring. The first book's boring.
Is boring like Australian for something dirty that I don't know?
Oh,
no.
Oh, you vogued.
Well,
you know, you just don't know it. You vogued a lot.
I get really tongue-tied. With it, Robin Hobb. First book boring. Second book, it picks up steam a lot. Third book is great. Generally, that's
so
what I think.
So you would not make a good bookseller because you can't go up to them and be like, I want you to read these books. The first one sucks, the second one's okay, and the third one's great.
That's the payoff. You got to slog through these
no,
two.
I'd tell them, just wait until you get to the second book and it is amazing.
I would just tell them, wait until you get halfway through the first book and then if you don't like it, keep going to the second book.
No. But,
you have to buy all the books at once. That's the only way. She'd be a great salesman, Greg.
All right. Go for it.
Sell all the books.
With Robin Hobb, the Farseer trilogy, I think there are actually a lot of parallels to Jon Snow's storyline in the books. So I think we should do a reread for it, and then we can talk about the parallels. But,
well, yeah. That would be a read for me. I got to read it and then read it again to do a reread.
Or just do it first read through and be like, wow, this is so interesting.
No, I just started the, Alex got me into the Prince of Nothing series, The Darkness That Comes Before, so I'm on the second one of those. And I know we were trying to get Steven to read them, S.J. Lee, so I think at some point in the future we'll do a discussion of those, because those are like the best fantasy books I've read post A Song of Ice and Fire, and they're filling the gap nicely, because like I was just waiting. I'm like, I'm not gonna read any fantasy until these are done, and I was like, I need something else. So
bro, like any fantasy until he's finished writing, that could be another 20 years.
No, because I have this, I don't like to mix series, because like then they kind of blend together, and that's what I did with The Thief and this series, the Prince of Nothing series. But no, I'm more open to that now.
Dude, fuck. Clown.
Oh, actually, I'm reading the new Stephen King book, the one he wrote with his son Owen, Sleeping Beauties. It's I'm like 100 pages into it, but it's 900 something pages. So
oh, he co-wrote it with his son.
Yeah, he wrote it.
He's trying to like give him like a leg up.
Well, no, I mean Owen King is he's an established writer. He wrote a book called Double Feature about 5 years ago, which is really great. It's if you're into like old films or just art at all, it's a great story.
One of
no,
those
really good
books about
yes,
film.
It's very artsy. It's literally a book about like artsy fartsy.
It's a book about how you should just go watch a movie.
Yeah. But no, Sleeping Beauty is very good. It's about this like disease called the sleeping sickness. Affects only women, and if you wake them up from it, they go crazy and kill you. It's a very female empowering story.
Yay.
set in a small meth-riddled West Virginia town.
Yeah, meth. I mean,
I read the back of it, but I didn't buy it when I was buying my copy of it.
It's one of those books that has like the whole cast of characters in the beginning of it. You know, like an old James Michener story. But it's Under the Dome was the closest to it.
On the forward, like, I read the back of it, and it looked interesting.
Yep. So far, so good.
Ashes all fall down.
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 Fall down.
Ashes all fall down.
Singing ashes all fall down.
Ashes all fall down.
Ashes all fall down.
Ashes all fall down.
Ashes all fall down.